Well, good early morning. Today we talk about the Lord's Supper. We talk a little bit about what we look at as Lord's Supper. We have two ordinances in our Baptist churches. One is baptism, which we'll celebrate baptism Sunday next Sunday. And today we celebrate the Lord's Supper. If you think about the Lord's Supper, it really is a time that we celebrate. Here in Louisiana, we love hospitality. We love having people over to our homes, and we eat supper together. We cook a sauce. You know what it's like. Why do we do that? Because we like relationships. We like building relationships, and it's that intimate time we get to spend with family, with friends, and we just get to hang out together. You know, reflect maybe when we were younger, in our younger times, what we used to do, or hunting trips that we went on, or this or that, or our family. It's that time that we just really kind of put everything aside, all the cares, all the worries, and just reflect. Well, Lord's Supper is basically that. It's a time that we as Christians get to reflect over what Christ has done for us. It's a time that we get to celebrate what he's done. It's also a time that we get to examine our own lives, because we always, as a disciple of Christ, want to continue to grow in him. And there may be some things that God shows us he wants us to get out of the way. And we can only do it by his power, just surrendering over to him. Say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. Would you please just take it from me? All this in one mealtime. But that's part of it. It's not just a religious ritual that we do. If that's all it is to us, then we might as well quit. No, it's something that God is, Christ established in his church for us to have that time to remember what he's done for us, how much he loves us, and that we are important to him. And in all of that, that we should exalt his name. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Taken from our Baptist Faith and Message 2000, says, the Lord's Supper is a symbolic act of obedience whereby members of the church, through partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine, memorialize the death of the Redeemer and anticipate his second coming. Indeed, that sums up our thoughts and understanding from Scripture about the Lord's Supper time. So as we read this, Paul is giving instruction to the church at Corinth. And boy, did he had to straighten up a lot of things. And one of the things Paul is straightening up, if you want to read previous verses before, is that in this chapter, the church is gathering together, but their meal was a little different than what ours, but it was actually a meal. And there were some who were getting drunk because there was wine. And there were some who were kind of getting left out. Those who were poor were still made to feel like they were poor. Those who were wealthy were kind of getting to the table first. And Paul says, listen, I've heard these things that's going on. And when you meet together for the supper time, this Lord's Supper, and let's straighten a few things out, guys. This is not the way it's supposed to happen. And this is where we begin to take off, where Paul gives instruction about what the Lord's Supper is supposed to be like. Beginning verse 23. Paul writes this to the church of Corinth. He says, if I receive from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. everyone ought to examine themselves before you eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, meaning died. But if you were more discerning with regards to yourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we may not be finally condemned with the world. So then, brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give you further directions. Let's pray together. Father God, today, oftentimes in our church, in our services, our Lord's Supper can become just another part of religious ceremony. It was never meant to be that. It was meant to be a solemn time that we reflect, solemn time that, God, we rejoice and celebrate. God, a time that we seek your forgiveness and your grace for things that we've allowed to go on in our lives as your children that you do not permit. Father, today I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you dig deep into our souls as your children. Lord, eradicate anything that's there that doesn't please you. In Christ's name, amen. Several things I want to look at today about dealing with the Lord's Supper. The first one is this: it's symbolic of Christ's death. So the Lord's Supper symbolizes the death of Jesus as paid the debt for our sins. We see that in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." See, communion identifies you as a witness for Christ. Now, let's understand what a witness is. A witness is a person who goes out and tells about Christ. A witness is one who goes to others and proclaims what they've seen and what's happened in their own life. We all have a testimony to tell. The Lord's Supper helps us to understand our witness for this world, for Christ to this world. See, I can imagine when Jesus sat down with his disciples on that Passover meal. And the reason they celebrated Passover then was because the Jews had been set free from Egypt. And when they came together, they established the Passover meal. And the Jews celebrate this every year. And what Jesus was doing at this Lord's Supper was actually celebrating the Jewish Passover meal with his disciples. And he claimed lordship over it. When he said these things in Matthew 26, 26, he says, "Take and eat, this is my body." See, and then he took the cup and he said, "Give thanks," and offered it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus is showing this. Listen, this Passover was part of the old covenant. Old covenant, when you were set for that God made with your people, the Jewish people, Jesus is declaring it now. He said, "This is now, I'm the new covenant. I'm the new covenant that for your salvation, for your grace to have your sins forgiven." He said, "When you eat this bread, listen, it's like eating my body. When you drink this cup, it's like drinking my blood. When you as a child of God partake of that, you're claiming my death is your own." Jesus was giving his disciples clues what was going on here at this first Lord's Supper. Listen, the disciples at that time had never realized that Jesus was going to die for them. They always thought Jesus was going to be the Messiah. Well, he was going to bring Israel back to its prominence, back to its heyday, where the whole world would be coming to Egypt and coming to Jerusalem and Israel for all of its marketing. And they thought it'd be a strong military power. That's what the disciples were looking for. And Jesus had far bigger plans in his kingdom than that. He's giving them clues at this first Lord's Supper. He's giving them clues about what he's going to do for them, set them free from their sins. His terminology about broken body and blood of the covenant didn't quite make sense to them. Listen, but today, even in our modern church, we realize that the Lord's Supper is a picture of Christ's death for us. When the bread is broken and symbolizes the breaking of Christ's body, and the cup is poured out, it symbolizes the pouring out of Christ's blood. And when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are claiming the death of the Lord until he comes. We are claiming for ourselves what Jesus has done for us. Oh, listen, today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is the time, this is the opportunity to give your life to Christ. Listen, because you grew up in church doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you said, oh, you know, I want to go to this class or that class, just because you attend First Baptist Church, Ville Platte, even today, doesn't mean that you're saved. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you repented of your sin? Have you given them all to him and said, listen, Lord, I know what you've done on Calvary's cross for me. I couldn't do that for myself. Your blood washed my sins away. I accept what you did in my behalf. And it's mine. I claim it. For me, would you receive that gift of salvation so your life, your soul can be washed clean today? That's salvation in Jesus. And listen, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, to fill you. He seals you to the day of redemption. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we're sealed to the day of redemption. In other words, when Christ comes, calls us all home, that marks us as a child of God. Are you saved today? Are you born again today? Oh, today. What a tragedy if we go through all of our life and we attend the church that we want to attend to and miss Jesus. Can you claim Jesus' death as your own today? Can you claim what Jesus did in your behalf as your own, and will you? Will you just simply open yourself up and say, Lord, here I am. God, I'm no good. I've tried it on my own and it's failed over and over and over again, God. I can't save myself, God. I can't be good enough. And just throw yourself at the mercy of God. Open yourself up and he'll give you grace. He'll give you forgiveness. He'll save your soul for all eternity. When he gives you salvation, he doesn't take it away. You are now his child. Just like you have children in this world, forever they are your child. Sometimes you may not want them to be your child. That's a different story, different sermon. You are his child forever. Will you claim Jesus' death as your own today? The second thing it symbolizes, the Lord's Supper symbolizes, is participating in Christ's death benefit. That we die. Not only are we claiming what Jesus did for us, we see in verse 26 of Matthew 26, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it, and then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat, for this is my body. See, we claim the benefits of Christ's death. The benefits of Christ's death. Oh, you see, we too, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, here's what some Christians have to grasp, is that you really die, and I really die. Too often we pray and ask God to give us strength through something. Lord, help me to overcome this situation. Lord, help me to overcome this little sin that keeps nagging me. What are we praying? We're saying, Lord, help me. See, we're still trying to be in control. We're still trying to be the one who's calling the shot. We just need a little boost from God. That's not the way God works. See, part of Christ's death benefit that comes to us is that we die to ourselves so that we can live through Christ. If we're going to claim Jesus as our Savior, if we're going to claim his death benefit for our own, that means that we too must die to ourselves. That's what it means when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. A cross is a symbol of death. is that we die to ourselves. It's not that we're just asking God to give us help to overcome sin in our life. It's that we're dying to the sin. We're dying so that Christ may live in us and through us. If you ever want to overcome a sin habit that you have, die to it. God will take it away and he'll fill you. And I tell you what, he'll fill that place and live through you in that very area that you've been struggling with. He'll steal it from you because you've died to it finally. Oh, today, the benefit that we have is that Christ lives in us and lives through us. When we claim his death and burial and resurrection as our own, it means that we too have died along with him. Have you died to Christ in some area of your life? Third thing we see today is symbolic, is spiritual growth in Christ. Spiritual growth in Christ. See, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper as a communion to nourish and refresh our souls. See, participation in the Lord's Supper is not simply this church ritual that we do or something that we just happen, you know, a habit that we have. Rather, it is an enriching experience of our relationship with Christ. John 6, verse 53 and 56 says this, out of God's Word translation says, Jesus told them, I can guarantee you this truth. If you don't eat it all, if you don't eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you don't have the source of life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me and I live in them. Now listen, Jesus is not speaking of a literal eating his flesh and his blood. There's no transubstantiation going on here. The body, the bread and the cup does not literally become the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. It just doesn't do that. It's symbolic for us to remember. But there's also in that remembering, in that reflecting, there's a lot of spiritual growth. Jesus is referring to a spiritual participation in the redemption of our souls that his sacrifice has earned. We should be so consumed with Christ that we reflect his image. See, the Lord's Supper symbolizes the experience of consuming Christ in order for him to consume us. It's truly a communion of our heart and our souls with the heart of God. We submit to our wills to his will in order that he may live through us. This interaction, this encounter, this experience fills our souls and empowers our spirit to manifest the presence of Christ through the Holy Spirit in our daily walk. Listen, we grow to a new measure in our spiritual lives each time we partake the Lord's Supper and we submit our hearts to him. I remember several years ago, Hurricane Rita. Michaela, you remember Hurricane Rita? Greg, there was a wedding right after that, right? When Hurricane Rita came through, we have some property in Bayou Chico, and so I went over there. Listen, this property is beautiful. It's from my grandmother's property, and big oak trees and pine trees and just about any tree you can imagine. Matter of fact, I used to take, when I was still teaching ag, I would take my forestry judging team to our property because it had almost every tree out there. So they could see, and after Hurricane Rita, I go there, and like I see branches here and there. I counted like 13 beautiful trees that had just toppled over from the winds. Most of them were oak trees. And something you know about oak trees is they have a fibrous root system. And the fibrous root system goes out. And if you just for your knowledge, the root system will go about as wide as the branches are. So if you have a huge tree with a big canopy, that's about how far your roots go out. But sometimes the roots don't extend that far. It's a weak root system. And a huge wind would come by and just blow them over. Top of these trees, just one on top of the other. Sometimes in our Christian life, we use that illustration. If we don't grow deep roots, if we don't grow strong roots as a disciple of Christ, as a born-again believer, if we just play church, if we just go from time to time, if we're not getting involved in Bible study, if we're not really growing deep roots, when the storms of life come our way, we'll topple over. Because our roots have not anchored us. We've not been anchored where we can really grow and be nourished. So, Christian, I want to ask you, are you anchored and growing? Or have your root systems grown just a little bit? And the first big storm that comes into your life, you're going to topple over. And you're going to wonder, I thought this Christian life was a little bit different than this. No, see, it's while the winds are calm and while things are going well, you continue to grow the roots. You anchor out a little bit further and become healthy in your Christian walk. You see, when we're healthy in our Christian walk, we take this Lord's Supper with a clear conscience. We're growing for Christ. The four symbols we see in the Lord's Supper is the unity of believers. I could preach this for a month. The unity of believers. See, when Christians participate in the Lord's Supper together, they demonstrate unity one with another in Christ. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. He says, and though you were many, we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. Paul gives this beautiful illustration using the Lord's Supper. He says, listen, though we are a whole lot of people, though we're a lot, we come from a whole different background together, our Lord's Supper time is a time that we draw together in unity. Regardless of where we came from, we're in Christ today. See, communion is a special way for believers across cultural, social, and denominational lines and across doctrinal beliefs to experience unity under the blood and body of Jesus Christ. Communion truly becomes a time of community among Christians. Our observance of the Lord's Supper becomes honoring to God when His children are united and focused on the grace found in Christ. When we do this, as Jesus says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When we do this in remembrance of Christ, not remembrance of ourselves, but remembrance of Christ, it's amazing how unifying that is across the church, across the body. Oh, well, listen, church. Unity means coming together. We may not all think alike. We are like-minded, but we're individuals. And when we come together for our Lord's Supper time, it's a time when we lay aside some of those differences and join in for Christ. That means personal differences too. There are a lot of people in church who just don't like each other. There are a lot of people in church who've been there for a long time, and they can't stand each other. Well, first of all, do we really have a clear conscience toward God if there's people that sit in our own congregation or in the congregation somewhere else, if we really don't like them? Do we really have a clear conscience toward God? And if you can say, I have a clear conscience toward God, but I'm really upset with so-and-so, or I'm mad at so-and-so, or I hold a grudge against so-and-so, let me tell you what, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself and you're lying to God. You see, when we come together for the Lord's Supper time, there needs to be repentance in our heart. And a lot of times repentance means that we need to get somebody and say, listen, I'm sorry that I've acted like that. I'm sorry I've said these things. I repent to the Lord, but I ask your forgiveness. Listen, that person may not forgive you if it's you. That said something, they may not forgive you. That's on them. That's between their conscience and God. But your conscience is clear. You see, that's hard to do sometimes. But why should church people? Because you see, not only when we as brothers and sisters in Christ can't get along, it always oozes out. You know where it oozes out to? The people who don't have Jesus in their life. And they begin to look at our testimony and say, well, they're no different than I am. Why need Jesus? Look the way they're acting. You know what? I don't like some people, but look, they don't either. And that's their own brother or sister in Christ. Oh, listen, today when we come together, part of it is that we have a clear conscience toward God when we partake of this Lord's Supper time. And if we're holding animosity toward others, we don't need to take it until we get our minds right and our lives right with God. The next thing is that Christ affirms his love. Next symbol, Christ affirms his love. The Lord's Supper is a reassurance of Christ's individual and personal love for each believer. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. The Lord's Supper is a vivid reminder that Jesus died for us, that he loves us, and invites us to commune with him and to be close with him. During World War, a shepherd was on the hillside outside of Jerusalem, and Turkish soldiers were hungry. So they began to try to direct this shepherd's sheep away from him as he slept. Very common for shepherds to take a nap while the sheep were out grazing. What else are you going to do? He was taking a nap, and the sheep began to go off, and the shepherd woke up about the time, noticing that his flock of sheep were a ways away on another hill. And he noticed these soldiers trying to steal his sheep. The shepherd gets up, and all shepherds had a certain call that their sheep would respond to, and he got up and placed his hands around his mouth, and as loud as he could, he gave the call. And these sheep who were willingly following these soldiers down to their death stopped because they heard this call. And the shepherd calls again. And immediately, this whole flock of sheep came running back to their shepherd, where the shepherd took them to a place of safety, away from the soldiers, and they were gone before the soldiers realized what they should do next, and they left alone as the shepherd took his sheep to safety. Listen, there may be some things in the world that want to pull you away. There may be some things that want to steal you, steal your time, steal your attention, steal everything that's going on. Oh, remember the love of Jesus that he has for you. And he's called out. He's the good shepherd. He's called out to you. May this be a time that you, as you reflect over your life, just remember how good God is to you. And you come running back home. You come running back like a prodigal. Say, God, here I am. I heard your call and I'm following. Lord, I've chased after things in the world, but Lord, I'm here today. Would you forgive me? God wants us close to him. Would you come home today? Because God loves you. Even though you've been a wandering sheep, he loves you and he's calling you back. Last thing we see today is that the Lord's Supper does this. It's symbolic of affirming our faith in Jesus. Our participation in the Lord's Supper affirms our love and trust in Christ. In communion time, we affirm our faith, this love, and this trust in our Savior. We are not sacrificial. We're not sacrificing him all anew for our sins, not at all. We are reaching out in love and trust to him. We take the bread and we take the cup. Our action proclaims, I need you, I love you, and I trust you, Jesus, to forgive my sins and to give my soul a new sense of joy and a sense of peace, my spirit. See, communion claims over and again that sins were put on Jesus, that our sins, my sins and your sins, were the cause that Jesus suffered and died on the cross. Jesus didn't go there just for his own benefit. He didn't need it. He went there for our benefit, our sins. And we celebrate the love that we have for Christ, but also the feel that we feel sorry for the sins that we have committed, the sins that we have that cast the cross upon Christ. And it's intermingled with thanksgiving, with gratitude for the sacrifice that Jesus has for us. Listen, there's two qualifications to partake of the Lord's Supper. Two qualifications, very simple. First of all is this, is that we are a believer in Jesus Christ, that we're born again. The Lord's Supper is a sign of being a Christian and continuing faithful in Christ in this Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, "For whoever eats his bread and drinks his cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are actually saying, listen, I am a follower of Christ. I'm a believer in him. I have repented of my sins. This is who I am today. Second thing is this. Second qualifications that we do a spiritual examination. Not of your neighbor, of yourself. Because we can examine everybody else pretty easily. A self-examination of ourselves. So believers are to examine our lives and to identify any area that is not pleasing to God and repent of it. You don't hear a lot about repentance in the pulpits too much anymore. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, 28 said, "Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." So we have this responsibility as a child of God. First, that the only way that we partake of the Lord's Supper is that we're a born-again believer, that Jesus is our Savior. Second of all is that we have a clear conscience toward God and that we're not partaking this unworthy. Paul says there's a reason that a lot of you are sick. There's a reason that a lot of you aren't doing so well. So there's a reason that a lot of you are weak. There's a reason that a lot of you have died. Because you're abusing this. You're not following through with what Christ set up. You're taking it in an unworthy manner. Is that your mind is filled with all sorts of stuff that needs to be cleared. Your animosity, unforgiveness, all that stuff needs to be cleared away. So that you take it with a clear conscience toward God and a clear conscience toward other people, that you're not taking it in vain. You see, when we take the Lord's Supper, we can easily just get into that ritualistic thing that we know that here we are, we're going to do the Lord's Supper and the bread's going to go around and the cup's going to go around and everybody's going to take part of it. And sometimes we even feel peer pressure because what are other people going to think about me if I don't take it? They're going to think some horrible things about me. Let them think. Because if that's what they're thinking about you, they're taking it unworthily themselves just because of that. And that's them and God. Don't worry about that. It's between you and God. As our deacons come forward this morning, our band comes on up, praise team. These men are going to go bring the bread and bring the cup around, and even upstairs, Grayson's there. Listen, if there's some things that you need to get right with God,